Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. December makes us want to pull out some of our performances that we did at the various ART Christmas parties. ART did a recreation of a Christmas show from Suspense called The Three Wise Guys.
American Radio Theater presents a recreation of an old-time radio episode of The Whistler.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors for which they dare not speak.
And now, for American Radio Theater, the Whistler brings you a most unusual story. One of the most heartwarming stories of our time, especially appealing this Christmas Eve. Three Wise Guys.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Even Broadway, that glamorous avenue of make-believe in faraway New York, seemed empty, deserted. Most of the cafes and eating places were closed, but the doors of an occasional refuge for these hardy souls who prefer to walk alone were still open. Such a place was Good Time Charlie's Bar on 49th Street, where on another Christmas Eve a series of unusual events began, ending in one of the most unusual stories Good Time Charlie had ever listened to. At the moment, Good Time Charlie is listening to the voice of a man named Al.
As is well known to one and all, Charlie, I am not one to complain, but it strikes me that Broadway would bring very little tonight on the open market.
I know you 10, maybe 15 years, Al. Until now, I don't know you know there is an open market.
Ha-ha! For the past 12 months that I know of, I am 100% legitimate. Honest, legitimate Al.
Want another Rock Candy and Rye? Without the rock candy?
I very seldom indulge in alcoholic beverages. But to answer your question, yes.
I haven't seen you for a year, Al. Want to run over that part again where you tell me you're playing it straight for the past 12 months?
As of last Christmas Eve, I am 100% honest ticket scalper. I do not make a killing, but I get that good, warm feeling that comes from being 100% legit.
It feels good to play it straight?
Cozy.
You want to tell me about it, Al?
I do not mind if I do, Good Time Charlie. It all begins a year ago tonight, right here in your strictly high-class joint. Blondie Swanson was here with me, you remember?
Yeah, I think I do. I remember, Al.
Now, Blondie Swanson is one of the gentry which operates on that side of the law, as very few call right, although Blondie himself always feels that this is a matter of opinion. But Blondie is not concerned with his racket a year ago tonight. You were busy chauffeuring the bar, Good Time Charlie, so maybe you do not notice the sad scene. Yep, it is last year, just about this same time, when Blondie comes in here, his big frame pretzeled with grief.
Hello, Al.
Well, hiya, Blondie. I see you are not so happy tonight. Why not join me in a medicinal rock candy and rye, without the rock candy? I am fighting off a touch of the grip.
Okay, Al. I got a bad case of memories tonight. If Rye can pack away the grip, maybe it can take a load off my memories.
Hey, Charlie, two more rock candies and Rye. Without the rock candy.
I'll slide them down.
Are these, conversational memories, Blondie? Or shall we give them to Clan?
You recall a doll named Clarabelle Cobb, Al?
Ah, Miss Clarabelle Cobb? Of course I do. She is well known to one and all on Broadway as a leading light with George White's scandal some years back.
Yeah. Well, Christmas Eve is an anniversary for me, Al. It was on Christmas Eve that Clarabelle left me to marry an honest guy in Akron, Ohio.
Here you are.
Ah, drink up, Blondie. Up till now, I remember Miss Clarabelle Cobb as a doll with Class A judgment. What did she put the distance between her and you?
Well, Clarabelle was a gal that didn't care much about how much money you had, as she did about where you got it. She felt that my role was ample, but tainted.
Which is why she puts on the exit.
Right. I can see now that she was right, but now it is too late.
Oh, but there must be other dolls as beautiful and desirable, and not such quizmasters when it comes to where the scratch comes from.
I will never look at another doll again. That's for the other guys.
Hey, Blondie. Huh? Blondie Swanson.
Well, if it ain't the Dutchman. Look out.
Hiya, Al. Blondie, Yuletide's all around.
Why, I cannot believe my eyes, Dutchman. I have not seen you in these parts for maybe a full calendar or so.
I've been detained in the West. Oh, it's a sad story. But I can see that all you two guys need is one more sad story. But you're not going to hear none. I got good news for you.
You have come to the right place, Dutch. I can't get kind of down on Christmas Eve.
What I'm going to tell you will give you a big lift. Blondie, you and me have pulled a few fast deals together, but I got one tonight that's the softest touch of all. Oh, you can listen, Al. We'll cut you in, too.
Oh, I have turned down soft touches before, but not wishing to be rude, I will hear you out.
Well, some months back, three other guys and me knocked off a tin safe in a factory over in Pennsylvania. It was a cinch haul on account of we received a dead center tip. The tip was on the level, so we stashed 50 G's in our grip sack and get set to hit the open road.
And something detained you?
The cops. After hot blasting from both sides, I find myself alone on the lam with 50 G's in a grip sack. But it's not a clean getaway, and I figure it's better to find a hiding place for the dough, not wanting to be caught with the goods.
I am beginning to get the idea. You are suggesting that the three of us go for this dough tonight and cut it three ways.
That's the idea. It's in an unpopulated barn under the floorboards. When I decide to go get it, the first guy I think of is you, Blondie. How about it?
I must admit, I got no other plans, Dutchman. Nice of you to think of me. Count me in.
How about you, Al?
I am not generally known as a spoil sport, but this prospect frankly holds no appeal. I do not wish to join the party.
This is your final answer?
Yes, Dutchman, you may quote me. I will not go with you. Well, good time, Charlie. That's the way it went. I am certain I will not leave your bistro that night. I am negative to the whole scheme, and I am nixing it loud and clear to one and all. So imagine my surprise at some later point to find myself warm and cozy in the back seat of the Dutchman's ancient velocipede, dogging it through the snow-covered countryside. Ah, the whole setting is so peaceful. I am catching small doses of snooze. But in between times, I cannot help but overhear up front conversation of Blondie and the Dutchman.
You are sure this is the right road, Dutchman?
Certainly I'm sure. I can find this road blind if necessary.
You are not flying blind now, so you must have noticed that the radiator is percolating again. I think we better stop and take on another load of snow.
I guess we'll have to, but I sure hate these delays.
Hey, Dutch. Listen. It must be coming from that little church.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. Help me with the snow on the radiator.
Well, that sounds real pretty, that kind of singing, though.
You think that's pretty? Wait till you hear real music. The kind money makes when it's crisp.
Hey, Blondie. Dutchman, where are we?
In Pennsylvania, Al. Not far from that barn where I stashed the factory payroll.
How can you tell? I, for one, see very little but darkness around and about.
I got to agree with Al, Dutchman. I got a feeling we are lost. Maybe we better give the whole scheme up.
Oh, you two give up too easy. I tell you, I know for certain we're close to that barn. I can tell by the big fat star I've been following for the last few miles.
Oh, yeah. I am seeing a small light ahead. I observe that if this is a star, it is hanging very low to the ground.
Well, I still got a feeling we are lost. Why don't we go back to Good Time Charlie's, which is a lot easier to find?
I don't care how low the star is hanging. I know it's leading me straight. I'm running this show, so you two better seal up. There, look, I'm right as rain. This is the barn.
I do not wish to start an exchange of words, but that star you followed turns out to be nothing more than a light from the window of said barn.
Okay, so somebody's living in the barn. I'll take care of them if they're too hard to get along with.
I vote for getting out of here.
I am not dressed for calling on strangers myself.
Come on, cut the gab. Besides, maybe there's only animals in the barn. I don't see no human footprints in the snow except ours. Well, I'll be doggone. Look through that window, Blondie. Is that a doll in there?
Let me see. Yeah, she is a doll. Not only that, I do not think she is feeling in the pink either. Well, now that we are here, let us go inside and see if there's anything that we can do for this doll.
I don't care nothing about a sick doll. I want to lay my mitts on that grip sack with the 50 G's in it. Come on.
Who's there? Who are you?
We mean you no harm. Well, if it ain't Miss Clara Cobb in person.
Friends, to all of you who have opened your homes to American Radio Theater, not only throughout the year, but even tonight, we want to express our sincere appreciation for this privilege and pleasure. Tonight, on behalf of American Radio Theater and its independent affiliates in California, Oregon, Washington, New York, and Alberta, Canada, I want to convey our warmest season's greetings. May the many blessings enrich your holiday season and the new year. And, as a special treat, here's a tidbit from that furtive mind of Dan Schindler.
Hello, Mrs. Firebrand. How are you today?
Hello, Mr. Peddler. I'm in a bit of a hurry today.
Fine. I'll try to be as efficient as possible. What do you need today?
Did my crate of jalapenos come in yet?
Not yet, Mrs. Firebreath. That's a special order, you know. I'll send you a thought message as soon as I get it.
Okay. Let's see. I need a dozen garlic apples and a bucket of kimchi.
Did you bring your own bucket? There's a deposit, you know.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. It's not like I don't have a big stack of buckets at home.
That's okay. You can return them any old time. Anything else?
I need a small bag of glass.
You know, the giant bag is a better value.
I got the giant bag last time, and half the glass went sour. I had to throw it out. We just don't use that much bagged glass.
Okay, anything else?
Let me see. Glass, kimchi, apples. Oh, there was something. Oh, yes, podcasts. I need 3 podcasts for Jerry's exorcism on Saturday.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Firebreath. I've got podcasts on back order.
Oh, dear. I need something to keep the kids occupied while Jerry's head is spinning.
Tell you what. You can download some podcasts from ART.
ART?
Right. www.AmericanRadioTheater.org.
And they've got fresh podcasts?
Yep. Podcasts, scripts, photos, cast biographies, winning lottery numbers.
Really?
Well, I lied about the lottery numbers, but all the other stuff is there.
Okay. That's www.AmericanRadioTheater.org, right?
You've got it, Mrs. Firebreath.
Oh, great. Is this my bag of goods?
It is now. Give Jerry a howdy for me.
I'll do that, Mr. Petter.
And now, back to The Whistler.
Yes, Al. That isolated barn on the snow-swept Pennsylvania countryside, so far removed from Good Time Charlie's Bar, where you are now enjoying Charlie's rock candy and rye without the rock candy, held a surprising development for you, Blondie Swanson and the Dutchman, didn't it? The three of you had driven up there that Christmas Eve a year ago to claim the $50,000 payroll the Dutchman had hidden there. The presence of Miss Clarabelle Cobb in the barn at your arrival was something not even her ex-boyfriend, Blondie Swanson, could fathom immediately. And you were even more puzzled at Blondie, weren't you, Al? Only the Dutchman seems to have the faintest understanding of what it's all about. So you turned to the Dutchman.
Dutchman, I am not understanding all of this. Why do you not inform us?
Listen, Al, you and Blondie better clear out of here for a while. Take a walk in the snow. I guess I'll have to take care of this doll.
Huh? Look, Dutchman, I have not seen Clarabelle for a long time. If you think I am going to leave her now and go for a walk with Al, you are nuts.
Besides which, Dutchman, the doll is clearly at grips with some strange malady. I do not think it polite the three of us should visit in this manner at this time.
Listen, I came here to get 50 G's, not a sick doll and a lot of lip from you two. This won't take long, so blow.
But Dutchman...
I'm getting fed up with you, Blondie. I know what I'm doing. I've delivered 7 of the 8 kids my wife's had, and I never needed no doctor. This one will be a cinch. Now, will you get out of here?
Well, I cannot help but say that this is quite a night for surprises, Blondie.
Yeah.
I for one, can take winter sports or leave them to someone else. Yeah, Blondie?
We could take the Dutchman's car here. You think Clarabelle would be better off if we got it to a dock?
Well, I am new to this racket, Blondie, but if you want an inexperienced opinion, I will say that...
What was that?
What?
That!
Well, Blondie, I am new to this racket, but if you want an inexperienced opinion, I will say Miss Clarabelle Cobb is a cinch mother. Come on, let's go back to the barn.
Oh, I wish you would not cry, Clarabelle. There's no sense in crying.
Oh, Blondie.
I know if all of a sudden I found myself with a brand new kid, I would not be crying. And your kid is such a beautiful kid.
You really think he's beautiful, Blondie?
I sure do. He is sleeping, huh?
Uh-huh. Oh, bless his heart. If he only gets a break.
Ah, do not worry about him, Clarabelle. A beautiful kid like that, they will love him in Akron.
Oh, Blondie, there's so much I want to tell you.
Yeah, but maybe you ought to sleep now yourself.
No. Not till I tell you, Blondie. You gotta know about everything. Why I'm staying here with Dr. Kelton's barn. About Joe, my husband. He's in such trouble, Blondie. He's in jail.
Come on, Al. Let's go find the grip sack. I know right where it is. Look, Al, look. This is more like it. Yeah, it's all there. $50,000.
Ah, what a lovely sight.
This is all that counts. A fat swatch of cash. Especially if it's mine. Come on, let's get Blondie and clean out of this barn.
You ain't going nowhere, that dough Dutchman.
You want to play that again, Blondie?
Same song. I said, you ain't going nowhere with that dough.
Now you tell me what he said, Al. I don't like what I'm hearing.
Oh, Blondie has mouthed the same identical words 2 times around, Dutchman. And I, for one, get the impression he means it.
I do. You did not tell us the whole story of this dough and how you come by it, Dutch.
Now listen, Blondie.
No. I've been listening. I heard everything you said about that factory payroll job you pulled. And you never did say nothing about trussing up that bookkeeper at the factory that night.
So what?
Not only that, you made it look like it's an inside job, and you leave the bookkeeper to take the rap.
So, they gotta nail somebody for it. Why are you building such a case for this cluck bookkeeper?
This cluck bookkeeper, Joseph Hatcher, happens to be Clarabelle's husband. That's his kid you delivered, Dutch.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Did Miss Clarabelle Cobb tell you all this, Blondie?
She told me plenty. This Joseph Hatcher has been cooling in the clink ever since. He was doing a special bookkeeping job for the factory. He came here from Akron to do it. He's a right guy, an honest guy. Or can you understand that, Dutchman.
Here, Blondie. Here's something honest I understand.
Hey!
Yeah, a gun.
Easy, Dutchman.
Shut up, Al. Look, Blondie, I've been patient with you. I know you're soft for this doll, and that's your business. But you're interfering with mine, Blondie, and I don't like that. Now let's get out of here, with the dough, and quick. I said, come on, let's get going.
Dutchman, please, put the iron away. It's not in keeping with the season to pull a heater on Blondie. In addition to which, this shouting is apt to wake up that kid who is pretty tired character like his mama.
Now you're going soft, Al. What's with you two?
Listen, Dutchman. Clara Bell's husband do not know she is living in his barn. When she heard they salted him away in a bum rap, she come here to try to help him. Then she found out she was going to have a kid, and she looked up a doc here, a guy named Kelton. Clara Bell has got no dough. But Doc Kelton gives her first-rate care up to now, even fixes it so she can stay in his barn. It is not great, but it beats living in a snowbank.
Ah, stow it, will you?
The heater, Dutchman. Hide it, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Okay, but I'm still running this show, wise guys, and this is what we do. Blondie, here's the grip sack. Take my crate out there and find this Doc Kelton character. Pay him off for what he's already done for the doll. Give him some more for taking care of her and the kid from here on in. Then bring the grip sack back here and we'll blow.
Yeah? Well, you bet, Dutchman.
And you can tell this doctor a couple of things for me. Tell him to get Clarabelle and the kid to a hospital where they belong.
Sure, Dutchman, sure.
Tell him that till now we didn't need no doc, that the Dutchman took care of things perfect, and that Mama and kid are doing nice. Real nice.
For all of you who play Canasta, or have been thinking about taking up the game, there's a little Christmas gift for you at your nearest signal service station. It's a 12-page booklet on that exciting new version of Canasta, Hollywood 3-Deck Canasta, which is replacing the old 2-deck game practically everywhere it's been tried. In fact, Robert Lee Johnson, the only Pacific Coast member of the National Canasta Laws Commission, says of the game, "You'll never know how much fun cards can be until you play this exciting 3-deck game. It has completely replaced 2-deck Canasta with all my friends in Hollywood." And friends, the booklet I'm mentioning is written by the man who devised this new game, so the rules are both complete and authentic. Right now, in fact, this booklet is being sold by leading department stores in 32 states, but you needn't buy a copy. One is waiting for you free while supplies last, at any signal service station. It is the hope of your signal dealer that this fun-packed new version of Canasta will add to your card-playing pleasure on your holidays.
It was almost midnight on Christmas Eve at Good Time Charlie's Bar on West 49th Street. As Al continued his amazing account of the story of that other Christmas Eve that had crossed the lives of Blondie Swanson, Miss Clarabelle Cobb, and her new son, and the Dutchman in his grip sack containing $50,000. As Al continued talking to Good Time Charlie, a faraway look came into his eyes.
So you see, Good Time Charlie, it is no more than a small wonder that since all this takes place a year ago this very night, me, Blondie, and the Dutchman have settled down to 100% legitimate endeavors.
Yeah, sure, and why not? A three-way split on almost 50 stolen G's is a cinch beginning to the straight and narrow.
You are laboring, as they say, under a misapprehension, Good Time Charlie. I see now where it is only fair I tell you the rest of the story. After Blondie makes the deal with Doc Kelton to get Miss Clarabelle Cobb and her brand-new kid out of that barn and into a Class A hospital arrangement, the three of us are once again in the Dutchman's hot rod, beating it along the streets of some pint-sized burg in Pennsylvania, thinking to leave the territory to them as wants it.
You know, maybe age is catching up with me. I ought to feel great right now. We've still got nearly 50,000 clams in that grip sack, but somehow I don't feel great at all. You did bring the grip sack back from Doc Kelton's, Blondie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure I did, Dutchman. The grip plex in the back seat went out.
Funny. It don't feel good. And it sure doesn't...
Perhaps a touch of rock and rye without the rock candy would warm your heart, Dutch.
Yeah, maybe so. Pass up the bottle.
I am willing to do this, but the bottle will be of small comfort as it is empty.
Well, thanks for nothing. Oh, well. Let's blow this berg and get back to native territory. New York ought to look pretty good.
We better slow down, Dutch. The law is gaining on us.
Oh, great. Never saw such a night in my life.
That red light back there was no Christmas tree ornament. You should have stopped.
Sorry, officer.
And you're in a church zone clearly marked for 20 miles an hour, so 49 is too much.
We was hurrying home for Christmas, officer.
Oh, carrying toys for the kiddies in this tub, huh? Well, I better have a look around. What's in this grip sack?
Nothing, officer. As empty a grip sack as you'd ever run into. No need to open it. It's empty.
Huh. Well, you're right about that, mister. There's nothing there.
Yeah. Huh?
Easy, Dutchman.
You sure? It's empty?
Sure, I'm sure. Weren't you?
Huh? Sure. I was sure. I just wanted you to be sure.
Well... carrying nothing but empties, huh? You guys empty this bottle all by yourselves?
This bottle is once full of medicine, officer. I myself have been warding off a touch of the grip now. I am now in the pink, as the saying goes. Yeah.
Wise guys, huh? Three wise guys. If it weren't practically Christmas, I'd haul you in. Go on now, get out of our town. And Merry Christmas, three wise guys.
Yeah, same to you.
Dutchman.
You know, Blondie, a while back you accused me of not telling you the whole story of that factory payroll job. Seems to me that you forgot to tell me something pretty important, too. What is it about that grip sack being empty of nearly 50 G's that I ought to know?
Well, I figured to fill you in, Dutch.
Hey, look, Blondie, Dutchman, it's that same little church.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know something? It's a miracle. I don't know yet what happened to that nearly 50 G's in that grip sack, but if that copper had caught us with that dough, we'd be on our way to the clink right now.
An astute observation.
Yeah. Well, you see, Dutchman, when I called on Doc Kelton tonight, I left all the dough with him, the whole 50 G's. I told him to give it back where it belongs. Told him enough more that Doc is sure he can spring Clarabelle's husband out of jail. So him and Clarabelle and a new kid can't be together.
Hey, this Doc Kelton is a right guy?
Oh, I'll say he is. He even agreed to give us a head start for the Pennsylvania border before he notified the law.
Oh, this is a right guy.
Yeah, and we better oblige the Doc and ourselves by making the border ahead of the cops. Hey, you know, that copper was right. Three wise guys, he called us. If we wasn't pretty wise, we'd have had all that cash on us when he pulled us over to the curb. I think it's a good idea we stay right on being three wise guys. I'm through stretching my luck. From here on in, I'm going to play it straight. And I'm still running this show, so you two wise guys are going straight with me, okay?
Okay.
Wonder how far it is to the border. They got a lot of funny little burgs here in Pennsylvania. What was that one we just left, Blondie?
I saw a signboard back there a ways. That burg is known as Bethlehem.
And so, on the night before Christmas in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, three wise guys were strangely touched by the spirit of the season, a spirit born in another Bethlehem nearly 2,000 years ago. And tonight, on the eve of another Christmas, may we hope that this same eternal spirit will someday bring to wise guys throughout the world the understanding that the future of the peoples of Earth rests in goodwill towards all men.
A let that whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program. The Whistler, each Sunday night at this same time. The Signal Oil has asked me to remind you, this week it's especially important to drive at sensible speeds. Be courteous and obey traffic regulations so some avoidable accident doesn't mar the holiday season for you. If you found tonight's story unusual and heartwarming, now wasn't I right? I'm sure many of you recognized it as one of the late and great Damon Runyon's most famous tales. The radio adaptation was by Kathleen Height. Remember, at the same time next week, another strange tale by The Whistler. You have been listening to American Radio Theater's recreation of Three Wise Guys from The Whistler, performed in front of a live audience at ART's Christmas Party, December 10, 2011. In our cast, you heard Harry Thiel as The Whistler, Dan Schindler as Al, Michael Mokey O'Reilly as Blondie Swanson, Dave Leese as Dutchman, Marge Lutton as Claire Bell Cobb, Ken Leese as Good Time Charlie, and Pat McNally as the cop. Our singers were the ARG Club. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Playback by Joy Jackson. Directed by Greg Porter. Sound engineering by Ron Ailey. This show was originally broadcast on The Whistler, December 24, 1950. In that broadcast, John Brown was Al. I'm Pat McNally, your announcer. This is ART, the American Radio Theater.
Here's some Christmas music from the days of old-time radio.
Now, folks, if Ken Carpenter will set the scene, I'd like to move along. I'd like to move you along with us, in fancy, that is, to Christmas Eve, 1950.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now take you to the Crosby home in Beverly Hills, California. It's Christmas Eve, and we find Bing and Gary engaged in a discussion of great importance.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the bells.
Gee, Dad, why do you have to go through this every year?
Never mind. Never mind giving me any beef. Just hand me those red pants.
Dad, why do you insist on playing Santa Claus? What are you trying to prove?
Gary, you're a big boy now. You're grown up. You're sophisticated. You're worldly. We've lost you. But not your little brothers. Why, I wouldn't think of not playing Santa Claus for them. They love it. It's wonderful to see their little faces light up with amazement and happy surprise when I bounce into the room.
I could be acting, you know.
No. I admit I don't convince you anymore, Gary, but your younger brothers, they're not wise to me yet. And as long as I can make their little eyes dance with glee, I'm gone.
Oh, okay. But I still can't understand why parents insist upon stifling their kids' mental development at this time of the year.
You're reading quick, huh?
Yeah.
Don't argue with Papa Santa Claus on Christmas Eve, that's all I can tell you. You're liable to wind up with an empty stocking. Now, come here. Put my beard on me, if you please, huh?
Yes, sir. There you are.
The beard doesn't go up there. Pull it down over my chin.
Just trying to make your disguise more convincing.
Wise guy. Well, I'm all set. Oh, wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. Santa has to have a big fat tummy. Hand me those two pillows. I'll stuff them in my coat.
I think you can get by with just one pillow this year.
Have no comments. Nick's cracking. Just shove those pillows in my coat.
Yes, sir.
There. That does it. Yes, sir. That's Santa's tummy, all right.
Oh, if those pillowcases spring a leak, we're sure going to have a white Christmas around here.
Now, come on, let's not think in terms of disaster. Here's the plan, Gary. Here's what I want you to do. You go out in the living room. You get everyone assembled, you see? Then I'll sneak out around the house. I'll come in the living room window with my bag of presents.
Why don't you come down the chimney like you always do?
Last year I got stuck, you
know. That was the biggest laugh you ever got.
Well, I didn't laugh.
Are we going to sing Christmas carols tonight, Dad?
We certainly are, right after we distribute the presents. And while everybody's putting their gifts under the tree, I'll sneak out, change my clothes, then we'll go out and we'll sing for our friends. You know, like we do for friends and the neighbors.
Yeah. I better go in the living room now and soften everybody up for your entrance.
Good, do that, will you? And Gary, when I come in the window, I do wish that you'd work up just a little enthusiasm, a little surprise, huh?
Oh, don't worry. My little eyes will just dance with glee. I may even fall into a faint.
Now, don't. Try to win the Academy. Don't overdo it. Uh-oh, Nick. Oh. Twins.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
What are you fellas doing in here? Oh, just snooping around. Hey, who's the guy in the red suit? That's Santa Claus, you dumbbell.
Why, I'll bet these are the twins, little Dennis and little Phyllis.
Hey, he knows us, Bill.
I was just asking Gary if you fellas had been good little boys this year.
You didn't squeal, did you, Simple Melody? No. As a matter of fact, I was just telling Santa what dear, sweet little children you were. You can go by what this boy says, Santa. He's very reliable. Now, come on, fellas. Let's go in the other room. Goodbye, Santa. See you later, I hope.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, indeed.
Goodbye, Santa. Bye, Mr. Claus. Been a pleasure.
Bye, boys. Bye. It's been nice seeing you.
Gee, Santa Claus is certainly a wonderful man, isn't he?
Yeah, pop is tops.
What do you mean, pop? That was Santa Claus.
Oh, Gary, let's act our age, shall we?
Oh, you guys were wise all the time, huh?
Sure, but if he wants to put on that old hot suit and wear that itchy old beard, it's all right with me. Let him live a little.
Sure. Sure, we can stand it if he can. Well, don't say anything in front of Lenny.
Hey, where is Len? Over there in front of the fireplace, waiting for Santa.
Well, he better turn his chair around and face the window. Santa's making a different entrance this year. Hi,
hi,
Len.
Hi, gang. Gee, I wish Santa Claus would hurry up. I'm a nervous wreck.
Me too.
Me too.
Lynn, we're going out to sing Christmas songs in a few minutes. Where are your stockings?
I took them off and hung them on the mantle.
I'm certainly glad we have only one hillbilly in the family.
Just shake a little more Fitch's tonic into your beautiful blonde wavy hair and don't worry about me.
Now, boys, it's Christmas Eve. We don't want Santa to catch us in the middle of a brawl. Hi, Mom.
Hi,
Merry
Mom.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, boys. Well, you lads look fairly presentable to greet St. Nick.
You look real beautiful, too, Mom.
Thank you, Lynn. And may I inquire why you aren't wearing stockings?
I hung them on the mantel.
Well, you skip right upstairs and get another pair.
Oh, Mom, I don't need stockings.
Honestly, you're getting to be more like your father every day.
I favor Dad, too. In the vocal department, of course.
You know, Gary, sometimes I wish Sam's song had never been written.
I think Mom sings just as good as Dad any day.
Well, bless every single blonde, beautiful, wavy hair in your head.
Hey, look, there's someone at the window.
Wow, it's Santa Claus.
Hooray!
Gosh, I think I'm going to faint.
Steady, son.
He's opening the window.
Now, is this the Crosby house?
Yes, sir.
And are there four nice, big, strong, healthy boys here?
Yes, sir. We're plenty strong.
Well, then get over to the window and drag Sandy in.
Well, I'm having a little trouble here. Looks like I'm stuck.
I'll help you, Sandy.
We'll get you
in.
Everybody grab a hold and pull.
All together now. Pull.
Easy now. Whoop, look out. There goes the window, Sandy.
In you come, Santa.
Boy, look at those feathers fly.
Well, so these are the Crosby boys, huh?
That's right, Santa. And all very good boys, too.
Now, let me see here. Which is which? Now, there's Gary. There's Dennis and Philip and this little fella here. Why, you're Lenny Crosby, as I recall.
And you're Bing Crosby, is that right?
Good night, Irene.
Well, I'll be darned. How'd you know it was me, Lenny?
Your beard went up with the shade.
Look at it dangling up there. Shall I take it down, Mom?
No, leave it there. Maybe some doves will nest in it.
Man, what a tough time I had getting through that window.
I like it better when you get stuck in the chimney.
I wish you boys would grow up so your poor father wouldn't have to go through this every year.
Oh, I don't mind. I wouldn't miss being Santa for the world. Say, look, we've got to get rolling. It's getting late. We've got to go out and sing some Christmas carols, you remember? You boys want to run through your songs first, kind of sharpen up a little?
We know those songs, Dad.
Yeah?
You'd better rehearse, Gary. I don't want you kids running all over the neighborhood singing off-key.
Yes, ma'am.
You lads gather around the piano now and run through all your numbers. I'll go get the Hoover and vacuum up these feathers while you're rehearsing.
I don't want you singing off-key either.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I guess you and I lead off, Gary. A song called That Christmas Feeling.
I love that Christmas feeling. It does my heart so much good. Strangers I meet all seem like friends. And the world's just a neighborhood. So here's to the joy of Christmas. And here's to the ones I hold dear. May you have that merry Christmas feeling all through a happy new year.
I think you got that one in good shape. Now we got a song coming up here from Lindsay. What's your big number this year, Lynn?
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus.
Well, you go right ahead and hitch that ride.
Care to join me?
Well, thank you very much.
Not at all.
Hanging time. Glad.
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus.
Well, wouldn't that be something to see?
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus, dodging the clouds, waving at crowds. I'd crack the whip and keep a watch for weather vanes.
For weather vanes.
I'd help him with his bag and check his Christmas tag.
Or maybe you could handle the reins.
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus. Wouldn't they be jealous of me? You couldn't say I ran away because after we roam.
Well, he'll drive you home.
He'll drive you home.
And when they see me Christmas morning, what'll they say with a look of delight? There goes the boy that rode with Santa Claus last night.
Now, folks, if Ken Carpenter will set the scene, I'd like to move along. I'd like to move you along with us, in fancy, that is, to Christmas Eve, 1950.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now take you to the Crosby home in Beverly Hills, California. It's Christmas Eve, and we find Bing and Gary engaged in a discussion of great importance.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the bells.
Gee, Dad, why do you have to go through this every year?
Never mind. Never mind giving me any beef. Just hand me those red pants.
Dad, why do you insist on playing Santa Claus? What are you trying to prove?
Gary, you're a big boy now. You're grown up. You're sophisticated. You're worldly. We've lost you. But not your little brothers. Why, I wouldn't think of not playing Santa Claus for them. They love it. It's wonderful to see their little faces light up with amazement and happy surprise when I bounce into the room.
They could be acting, you know.
No. I admit I don't convince you anymore, Gary, but your younger brothers, they're not wise to me yet. And as long as I can make their little eyes dance with glee, I'm gone.
Oh, okay. But I still can't understand why parents insist upon stifling their kids' mental development at this time of the year.
You're reading quick, huh?
Yeah.
Don't argue with Papa Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. That's all I can tell you. You're liable to wind up with an empty stocking. Now, come here. Put my beard on me, if you please, huh?
Yes, sir. There you are.
The beard doesn't go up there. Pull it down over my chin.
Just trying to make your disguise more convincing.
Wise guy. Well, I'm all set. Oh, wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. Santa has to have a big fat tummy. Hand me those two pillows. I'll stuff them in my coat.
I think you can get by with just one pillow this year.
There's no comments. Nick's cracking. Just shove those pillows in my coat.
Yes, sir.
There. That does it. Yes, sir. That's Santa's tummy, all right.
Oh, if those pillowcases spring a leak, we're sure going to have a white Christmas around here.
Now, come on, let's not think in terms of disaster. Here's the plan, Gary. Here's what I want you to do. You go out in the living room. You get everyone assembled, you see? Then I'll sneak out around the house. I'll come in the living room window with my bag of presents.
Why don't you come down the chimney like you always do?
Last year I got stuck, you know.
That was the biggest laugh you ever got.
Well, I didn't laugh.
Are we going to sing Christmas carols tonight, Dad?
We certainly are, right after we distribute the presents. Now, while everybody's putting their gifts under the tree, I'll sneak out, change my clothes, then we'll go out and we'll sing for our friends. You know, that's what we do for the friends and the neighbors.
Yeah. I better go in the living room now and soften everybody up for your entrance.
Good, do that, will you? And Gary, when I come in the window, I do wish that you'd work up just a little enthusiasm, a little surprise, huh?
Oh, don't worry. My little eyes will just dance with glee. I may even fall into a faint.
Now, don't... Try to win the Academy. Don't overdo it. Uh-oh, Nick. Oh. Twins.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
What are you fellas doing in here?
Oh, just snooping around. Hey, who's the guy in the red suit?
That's Santa Claus, you dumbbell.
Why, I'll bet these are the twins, little Dennis and little Philip.
Hey, he knows us, Phil.
I was just asking Gary if you fellas had been good little boys this year.
You didn't squeal, did you, Simple Melody?
No. As a matter of fact, I was just telling Santa what dear, sweet little children you were.
You can go by what this boy says, Santa. He's very reliable.
Now, come on, fellas. Let's go in the other room. Goodbye, Santa. See you later, I hope.
Oh, yes, 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 indeed.
Goodbye, Santa.
Bye, Mr. Claus. Been a pleasure.
Bye, boys. Bye. It's been nice seeing you.
Gee, Santa Claus is certainly a wonderful man, isn't he?
Yeah, pop is tops.
What do you mean, pop?
That was Santa Claus.
Oh, Gary, let's act our age, shall we?
Oh, you guys were wise all the time, huh?
Sure, but if he wants to put on that old hot suit and wear that itchy old beard, it's all right with me. Let him live a little.
Sure, we can stand it if he can.
Well, don't say anything in front of Lenny.
Hey, where is Len? Over there in front of the fireplace, waiting for Santa.
Well, he better turn his chair around and face the window. Santa's making a different entrance this year.
Hi, Len.
Hi, gang. Gee, I wish Santa Claus would hurry up. I'm a nervous wreck.
Me too.
Lynn, we're going out to sing Christmas songs in a few minutes. Where are your stockings?
I took them off and hung them on the mantel.
I'm certainly glad we have only one hillbilly in the family.
Just shake a little more Fitch's tonic into your beautiful blonde wavy hair and don't worry about me.
Now, boys, it's Christmas Eve. We don't want Santa to catch us in the middle of a brawl. Hi, Mom.
Hi,
Merry
Mom.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, boys. Well, you lads look fairly presentable to greet St. Nick.
You look real beautiful, too, Mom.
Thank you, Lynn. And may I inquire why you aren't wearing stockings?
I hung them on the mantel.
Well, you skip right upstairs and get another pair.
Oh, Mom, I don't need stockings.
Honestly, you're getting to be more like your father every day.
I favor Dad, too. In the vocal department, of course.
You know, Gary, sometimes I wish Sam's song had never been written.
I think Mom sings just as good as Dad any day.
Well, bless every single blonde, beautiful, wavy hair in your head.
Hey, look, there's someone at the window.
Wow, it's Santa Claus.
Hooray!
Gosh, I think I'm going to faint.
Steady, son.
He's opening the window.
Now, is this the Crosby house?
Yes, sir.
And are there four nice, big, strong, healthy boys here?
Yes, sir. We're plenty strong.
Well, then get over to the window and drag Sandy in.
Well, I'm having a little trouble here. Looks like I'm stuck.
I'll help you, Sandy.
We'll get you
we'll
in.
Get you in.
Everybody grab a hold and pull.
All together now. Pull.
Easy now. Look, look out. There goes the window, Sandy.
In you come, Santa.
Boy, look at those feathers flying.
Well, so these are the Crosby boys, huh?
That's right, Santa. And all very good boys, too.
Now, let me see here. Which is which? Now, there's Gary. There's Dennis and Philip and this... Oh, this little fella here. Why, you're Lenny Crosby, as I recall.
And you're Bing Crosby, as I recall.
Good night, Irene.
Well, I'll be darned. How'd you know it was me, Lenny?
Your beard went up with the shade.
Oh, look at it dangling up there.
Shall I take it down, Mom?
No, leave it there. Maybe some doves will nest in it.
Man, what a tough time I had getting through that window.
I like it better when you get stuck in the chimney.
I wish you boys would grow up so your poor father wouldn't have to go through this every year.
Oh, I don't mind. I wouldn't miss being Santa for the world. Say, look, we've got to get rolling. It's getting late. We've got to go out and sing some Christmas carols, you remember? You boys want to run through your songs first? Kind of sharpen up a little?
We know those songs, Dad.
Yeah?
You'd better rehearse, Gary. I don't want you kids running all over the neighborhood singing off-key.
Yes, ma'am.
You lads gather around the piano now and run through all your numbers. I'll go get the Hoover and vacuum up these feathers while you're rehearsing.
I don't want you singing off-key either.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I guess you and I lead off, Gary. A song called That Christmas Feeling.
I love that Christmas feeling. It does my heart so much good. Strangers I meet all seem like friends. And the world's just a neighborhood. So here's to the joy of Christmas. And here's to the ones I hold dear. May you have that merry Christmas feeling all through a happy new year.
we got that one in good shape. Now we got a song coming up here from Lindsay. What's your big number this year, Lynn?
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus.
Well, you go right ahead and hitch that ride.
Care to join me?
Well, thank you very much.
Not at all.
Hang in time. Glad to.
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus.
Well, wouldn't that be something to see?
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus, dodging the clouds, waving at crowds. I'd crack the whip and keep a watch for weather vanes.
For weather vanes.
I'd help him with his bag and check his Christmas tag.
Or maybe you could handle the reins.
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus. Wouldn't they be jealous of me? You couldn't say I ran away because after we roll,
well, he'll drive you home.
He'll drive you home.
And when they see me Christmas morning, what'll they say with a look of delight? There goes the boy that rode with Santa Claus last night.
Well, sir, it's Christmas Day, and the snow is piled high in many parts of this great land. The words and music describing such a scene here, the Andrews sisters singing Winter Wonderland. Gals, it's all yours, honey.
Thank you, Jim. Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird, here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, ma'am. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. To face unafraid the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland. Over the ground lies a mantle of white, a heaven of diamonds in the lovely night. In the meadow we can build a snowman and give him a name and call him Parson Brown. He'll say, I am married, and then we'll say, no, man. But now you can do the job whenever you're in town. Later on, maybe we'll conspire as we dream of sitting by the fire. Unafraid all the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland. Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Walking, walking in a winter wonderland.
I love them gals, I sure do.
Hey, that's all I've got time for today. Please, have a safe and sane holiday season. Slow down, put your feet up, have a cup of cocoa, and listen to some old-time radio. Hey, enjoy yourself. See you next time.